it's time for Rain and Shine, your weekly regional science update, where we explore how the planet works and how we work with the planet. If you live on the western slope of Colorado, in Nevada, or Utah, and you don't live inside 98% of the time, you may have, like me, heard people in bars, cafes, and in general around town actually trying to fit the words grasshopper and Armageddon together. What seems to come out most often is grasshopper-geddon, but personally, I prefer hopper-apocalypse or hopper-pocalypse. And while the USDA has not classified Delta or Montrose counties as under plague-level conditions, outbreaks of Mormon crickets in Rangeley and Craig have caused CSU Extension agent Melissa Shurin to wonder at the, quote, piles and piles of grasshoppers just stacked up on top of each other for miles, as she reports in the Colorado Sun. A long, cool, wet spring followed by a sudden hot and very dry summer is to blame. Normally, this is where I would go into the science, how warm the soil needs to be before their eggs can hatch, why timing of big early vegetation growth was especially great for them this year, how many species there are, etc., but at this point I just don't care. This issue has caused me such emotional frustration, I haven't even been able to write about it until now. What I have been doing instead is trying every gosh darn thing anyone recommends to me to stop them. Yes, I have tried neem oil, so much neem, with dedicated applications every morning and every weekend for weeks to no avail except that my hands smelled like neem all the time. I have tried Lance's grasshopper spray recipe consisting of neem, molasses, Asa moss, and Dr. Bronner's soap, and with all due respect to Lance, I didn't see a dent. I cut all the grass around my house and yard and even the decoratives and native grasses in my flower garden, thinking that the grasshoppers would have nothing to eat and they would leave, but no, the grasshoppers stayed while the flowers, sadly, did not. I bought the bran containing Nosema locustae and spread it liberally. I did the same with diatomaceous earth. I even, for the first time in my life, bought insecticides. Don't tell my father. And some sort of bacterial spray that ended up killing my plants but didn't really seem to bother the grasshoppers. The sympathetic lady at the feed store told me I could try what she does, which is drink a beer and shoot them with a BB gun from her porch. Fair enough. I think I would have done this if my neighbors weren't 15 feet away from me. After a solid 6 weeks of intensely active control and then letting my garden be, a nice way of saying I gave up, I have noticed some informative trends. One, that thing about grasshoppers not liking the wetter and cooler areas as much seems to be borne out. At least three people I respect who actually grow things for a living have also shared this observation with me. Keeping things watered seems to help. And we know that plants living in better soil with more organic matter have more nutrient availability and are better able to defend themselves and regrow, while plants in hot, dry stress conditions cannot. Two, it seems like where I put the bran and the insecticides out, there are fewer hoppers. The plants that I stunted and had to regrow after the overly hot bacterial application have also, for the most part, regrown and show far less damage than those that I did not dose. And then three, the heart of the matter. Understanding and accepting that all living things come in cycles and knowing their life cycle better can help you better understand the thing. In this case, where in the cycle it's best to kill it. It's right after they hatch, 40 days in fact, they are nymphs, and that is supposedly when the biologicals and sprays and neem oil can actually work. The nymphs die, and then the grasshoppers, because they are in fact monsters, eat the dead nymph ones and they die too. That may be one of the only ways to kill the adults, which, according to reputable farm TA provider NCAT, are virtually impossible to control. Learning about the cannibalism made me glad I did not try one recommendation I got, which was to kill a bunch of grasshoppers by hand and then blend them in the blender into some kind of soup to apply to plants. Clearly, the person who passed along that juicy tidbit to me was also unaware. There is, of course, the critical importance of natural predators. An interesting side note here is that the Mormon crickets got their name from a massive outbreak in Utah in the 1800s, when farmers say they were saved from the pestilence when flocks of migrating gulls coming to the Salt Lake landed and ate them. Predators for the eggs of the grasshoppers are also important: beetles, ground beetles, crickets, and other insects. Nymphal and adult predators also include spiders, praying mantis, robber flies, wasps, and many bird species. I will say that the one small patch of my vegetable garden that remains intact to date is inhabited by at least 3 praying mantis. At the end of all this, here's what I can say. I hate grasshoppers. I hate them with such a passion that I decided if they were going to eat everything of mine, I am going to eat them. Or at very least, hunt them the way that people who eat them do. Human taste is, after all, a very powerful driver of innovation. Most YouTube videos show a short plastic sheet or some kind of mesh trap that has to be used by hand, but no, I wanted something better. I wanted something that wasn't a hobby, but which was a real economic pursuit. And I found it in the Journal of Economic Entomology, which noted that Africans, with their taste for salted roasted hoppers, quote, Ugandans relish grasshoppers the way Americans gobble up popcorn, have industries that do just this. And it's relatively simple, too. They use big metal drums with wire mesh inside, and they are outfitted with slippery corrugated metal strips that act as slides into funnels, which then dump the grasshoppers into the bins. These things have been shown to capture thousands and thousands of grasshoppers in a single night. The hoppers are attracted to the light you see, in particular ultraviolet light, which is placed on top of the corrugated tin, so as the grasshoppers fly towards it, they hit the tin and slide down, and voila, trapped. I double-checked this light thing, and indeed it's true. A strange example of this occurred in 2019, when hordes of grasshoppers literally hit Las Vegas. So yes, I ordered a UV light and downloaded the trap schematic. And while there are plenty of examples of Americans eating grasshoppers, the YouTube consensus seems to be they have a nutty flavor and are acceptably tasty, there are non-human markets for these very high-protein, low-calorie snacks. Culinary Coop dried insect trail mix is $15.65 for a 10-ounce bag, while a 4-ounce bag of freeze-dried grasshoppers from Happy Hen Treats goes for $13.99. If you want to prototype this trap with me, visit our Facebook page for Rain and Shine and let me know. In the meantime, I wish you a very happy hopper hunting. You've been listening to Rain and Shine, a production of the Learning Council, produced by Corey Stanton and written and narrated by me, Calla Rose Ostrander. To submit your nature and science questions, email us at rainshineweekly@gmail.com or visit our Facebook page. And thanks for listening.